I think we're pretty much good to go. I don't know. Do you feel good to go, Steven Stern? Is it Steven or is it Steve?
You know, it's been a lifelong debate, and it's one letter difference, and like I can't even tell sometimes which one people are saying. Like if it's a loud room or something, I'm like, but generally Steve, I think.
I always just assume that Steve is short for Steven.
Oh, it is, and I get both.
So you are Steven? Like your birth certificate?
Yep, with an N.
Okay. Anyway, here with Steve Stern. He is the owner and founder of Green Home Solutions. He's a cool guy, as those of you who are watching can tell by the cowboy hat and the very trendy sunglasses that he has on.
I bought them in London.
you bought the sunglasses in London?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Okay. So, Steve.
They were at like a drugstore. It was hard to find them, though.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I needed them really bad. My eyes were having a problem adjusting.
Naturally.
Jet lag and all that. We just got there.
Yeah.
And I went in a store and I like could not find sunglasses anywhere.
And you picked up those bad ones?
Yeah, and then I grabbed, and I was like, actually, these are exactly what
I was after. How much does something like that cost? Like,
they were
London, how much are those?
16 pounds or something like that.
How many dollars is that for
20-ish?
Those? Really?
20,
okay. Well,
18,
I guess that's
20.
About right then.
Yeah, they're like going to a gas station and kind of over. But they feel, you know, they seem nicer.
Yeah.
They're comfortable.
They
like
look
them.
Good. They're colorful. And,
thank
you know,
you.
As long as they block the sun, I mean, that's really, that's kind of their main goal. But, so I had something interesting. I asked Steve, I told him yesterday, I was like, yeah, go ahead and think about some things that you think you might want to talk about on the podcast. And he texted me earlier this morning and said, today we're going to talk about TV Westerns.
Yeah.
This is something that's foreign to me, but before we dive into TV Westerns, tell us a little bit more about Green Home Solutions and what it is that you guys accomplish.
Well, Green Home Solutions, we are an indoor air quality company.
Okay.
And we use EPA-registered plant-based products to fix mold, bacteria, odor, and allergen problems.
Okay.
So we're doing work in homes, fixing the air quality, fixing basically moisture-based kind of odor and contamination issues.
Yep.
Without using chemicals. We're preventing putting a lot of stuff in landfills because we don't do a lot of removal of sheetrock.
Right.
Actually treat things and keep them. And we make air quality better for just about anybody that that wants it, which you would think would be everybody.
Right, right. So, I mean, for example, like as a realtor, if I walked into a house and it smelled like a kitty cat or something
mm-hmm.
like that, or maybe it smelled like pee-pee or,
yeah.
you know, something that stinks like that, you'd be able to step in and...
Just like that.
Snap it out.
Yeah, cat urine's a really common one. You know, pet odors of all kinds.
Right.
Left, you know, a lot of people look at a house. I remember when I was shopping, we went to 20, 30 different houses at some point. And some of them you walk in and just think like, ugh, like I can't imagine having people over here if it smelled
oh,
this way.
Oh, yeah.
And,
right.
You know,
and they're trying to sell it.
Right.
And it smells that way.
We can get rid of odors pretty much overnight.
Wow.
Tell you what, a little like an anecdote. It's funny. I own an odor company, odor removal service.
Right.
And my dog got blasted by a skunk like maybe almost a month ago.
Yeah, that's ironic.
Right, exactly. Fireman's yeah. house burns down, odor control guy gets
yeah.
hit by a skunk.
Like, yeah.
I guess she opened the side door of the house, let
the dog,
dog out. My wife.
I was like, geez, what kind of dog yeah, do you have?
Dog just jumped out.
Yeah.
No, Nicole, my wife, let the dog out, and the second the Penny ran out in the driveway, the skunk was there, just like, psh, right inside the door of the house. She called me. I was...
So the whole house smelled like...
Horrendous, man. I was at the bar. She called me.
Nice.
I was like, oh, man, I better get home. So I went to Walgreens and bought some low-strength peroxide because I have high-strength peroxide at my business.
Yeah.
But that would, like, melt the dog's fur off. So
right.
Got the low-strength stuff and some baking soda. Then I grabbed, like, my little kit of tools and things that I knew would help.
Yeah.
Ran home. And when I was pulling up the street, I was like, oh, I can smell the skunk. Like from my car, like you do.
Yeah.
Then I pulled in my driveway, and I was like, "Ooh, that's stronger than normal." And when I walked in the house, it was like, like
oh,
I mean, it was
really?
Like it smelled like onions that were really rotting horribly, and like concentrated. Like you can't escape it. You can't like put your shirt over your face. It was like horrendous stench.
Yeah.
Inside the house, it was right inside that part, and then the rest of the house all smelled like skunk, but it wasn't super super strong.
Okay.
But completely. I mean. If I didn't own a business and know how to deal with these things, I would have been mortified. Like, wow, did I just,
yeah.
like, what's this mean?
I think you're supposed to buy tomato soup or something, right?
That, look, We fix this using a couple steps, a machine, and then a couple different products I have. And it took, you know, a total of maybe 8 to 10 hours to get the situation under control.
Yeah.
Because we had to go to bed. But
right.
Yeah, well, I was able to fix it right away, and it was epic, the difference. Like,
really?
I mean, this was a very real, like, wow, like, you couldn't live in my house.
Yeah.
The way it smelled. And by 10 a.m. the next morning, it was like, you know, you could faintly still smell some skunk.
I was gonna
and we've
say,
since
yeah.
gotten it out, but it is a long-term, hard odor to get out.
Okay.
And we work with stuff like that all the time.
And tomato soup is not the answer.
I mean, it could be, but I don't have any protocols to follow for tomato soup, you know?
Yeah.
And the cleanup after, like, the products I use, I don't have to, like, get, you know, red staining right. tomato juice everywhere, so.
Do you plan to be, like, the big, like, do you want to take this company huge?
Yeah, we're working on.
You should do a commercial, like, wearing that hat with those sunglasses, talking about how you're the mold guy.
I am the mold
you
guy.
You look like, you look kind of like a cartoon character right now. So I think that you could easily be, like, a mascot.
Jeez, Mr. Mold, the Mold Ninja. See, we go by Mold Ninja, and I always pictured the Mold Ninjas wearing, like, ninja outfits. But when you think about it, if you, with a name like Mold Ninja, like, why wouldn't you be wearing an outfit like this?
Yeah, no, exactly. Or you could be, like, Marty the Mold Man,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Absolutely.
It could be it could be a household name.
We do.
But you want to take it big?
Mm-hmm. We plan on... Our 10-year plan right now is to open one new franchise location per year for 10 years.
Okay.
So, 2019, done.
Nice. You know, yeah. Well,
lucky because it's coming up to an end.
Yeah. So, will it become easier once you start to get more of them, do you think?
Absolutely.
That's typically There's how those kinds of things work.
A couple of humps and plateaus to get over.
Yeah.
But it's like anything in life, you know, when you start out and you have like sort of the wide berth of everything ahead of you, you know you need to get done, and an even wider berth of everything you don't even know exists yet that you need
That's
to get
exactly
done.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And at some point, you go from worrying about, like, the scope and scale of those mountains and more about, like, how am I just climbing it right now with what's in front of me and what I can see, like, you know, by the end of today's hike or something.
Right.
And you just break those pieces off, do them a bit at a time.
Yeah.
So.
No, That's exciting. That's cool. That's a unique business. That's something that, like a senior in high school, you don't think that he would graduate being like, I want to be the mold guy. I want to remediate mold. That's what I want to do.
Right.
I love hearing about those businesses that are totally scalable, such as yours.
Yeah.
But it's like something that not everyone is, you know, not everyone's keen on.
It's funny. One of the first trainings we went to, because it's a franchise business we own.
Yeah.
So... We go to these trainings, and this guy starts out with, yeah, you know, I was that kid on the playground that said, I want to grow up and fix mold problems and
houses.
That's
what he said? Or was it sarcasm?
No, it was sarcasm, but he delivered it really well, and everybody for half a second was like, what? And he's like, no, I'm just kidding. Of course not, right?
You know?
It's like, we all ended up here somehow, and I'm like, yeah, it's weird to just land in that place in life. We're like, what do you do? I love it when people ask what I do.
Yeah.
And when I, you know, it's funny, because for years I drove truck over the road. So I earned the cowboy hat, right?
Hell yeah.
Got me a CDL.
Oh, man. Yeah. I don't even know what that is, to be honest. What is a CDL? Casey, you know what a CDL is? I don't either.
A car?
Really?
Is that a radio?
Oh, my God. I'll show you my CDL. You want to see it?
It's a driver's license.
It's a driver's license.
Oh. Is it a commercial driver's license? Is that what CDL stands
commercial
for?
Commercial driver's license.
Look at that. That's a nice picture, too. You look surprised.
Something was going on there.
It looked like the lady at the DMV was flashing you her boobs or something like that.
Oh,
back.
God.
You look shocked.
Yeah, I felt shocked.
Yeah, just say, geez, whoa.
No, it says valid for any vehicle or combination thereof.
Oh.
Any.
Wow.
Any.
Like a tank, even, you think? Or a helicopter? No, that's different.
No, those are, no ships, anything land-based
on highways. Does it literally
say
tank on there?
Oh, yeah, I have a tanker endorsement.
A tanker.
So, like, hauling tank trailers and then double, triple endorsement.
Okay.
I used to have hazardous. I had motorcycle, too.
Nice.
Anyway, what are we...
I got my firearm safety license.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so...
We were going somewhere with that.
CDL
and all that.
I forget. You said, oh, you said you kind of happened upon it. You said you're a trucker.
Oh, yeah.
You got your CDL.
I hated talking about what I did. That was the point.
When you were a trucker, you did?
Hated. Yeah, people are like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, God, can we talk about anything else?
Did you spend any time at truck stops while being a trucker?
Oh, absolutely.
Is there some pretty weird things that go on there? Because there's a lot of people that are like, there's prostitutes, you know, there's drugs, there's some really sketchy things going on there.
Check.
Of that true?
Totally true.
Really?
I mean, it's not like some big circus thing where, go to a big city or any city. Are there prostitutes and drugs in Duluth?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, does that mean like if someone were to come here, you'd be like, ooh, prostitutes and drugs. Like if they go to like, you know, First Street.
Right.
Right.
But like, blocks. So like at a truck stop, let's say there's like six big trucks lined up. I mean, dude, like. Women, like, come right up to the window and, like, knock on the window.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah.
Because that's how I imagine it happening.
Or they'll, like, pick guys up, like, just, I think, in the lot or the cafe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've honestly never had anyone approach me. One time, I have one. It wasn't a truck stop, though. It was just the highway.
Was it, like, a Walgreens parking lot?
This is, nope. This was an absolutely true story. I was pulling a set of doubles for FedEx. So, I was, like, two trailers.
Okay.
I'm coming back from Champaign, Illinois. On my way to Twin Cities, I get up by Cherry Valley, Illinois, and I see this minivan smoking on the side of the road and this, like, woman kind of walking away from it.
Yeah.
And I was like, why not? I'll give her a ride up to the next exit. So I pull over. She gets in, and she's like, oh, thanks for picking me up. You just take me to the – I can never remember the name of these, like, gas stations. It's like the come-and-go thing in Iowa, but it's like the get-and-split or something.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's
I've
like
– I've definitely seen them.
One of those weird brands. I might call
it the split.
Getting split.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Pump and Munch. That's a real one.
Yeah. See, I've seen those before. Those are kind
of
funny.
It's one of those things when you look at like kids' cartoons that are like way too adult themed. You're like, were they like putting a message in this Tom and Jerry shit? You know,
oh yeah.
Like,
they say there's a lot of people who won't let their kids watch SpongeBob because of the innuendos. I just talked to a woman the other day, and SpongeBob came up, and I was like, man, SpongeBob, I was practically raised by that yellow guy. And then this lady was like, yeah, I got a 7-year-old son. I would never let him watch SpongeBob. I'm like, what?
People say the weirdest stuff sometimes.
Insane.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? Do you have any kids? I forgot.
No.
You don't have any kids,
no.
Right?
I'm not qualified for that at all.
You're not qualified for it? Let's say you had an 8-year-old son. Would you let him watch SpongeBob right now?
Would I?
Yeah.
I've never watched SpongeBob myself. I'm only aware of, like, just seeing SpongeBob things.
Yeah. Like you said, though, Tom and Jerry would probably be, that would be maybe comparable because there's actually a lot of violence in that.
Tons.
I've watched it recently and thought, whoa.
Yeah, and it's funny because no one ever cared. I don't ever remember that being an issue.
No.
Never. No one ever was like, oh, should we watch things that show us how to resolve issues by, like, dropping anvils on people's heads?
Yeah.
That was never a problem.
Right.
Never came up. There was never a time when, like, parents were pumped about that. But then it's like all of a sudden you get into this, you know, like, we're way off track, though.
Yeah, no, that happens. You're talking about the get and split.
Okay, back to the story. So
yeah.
FedEx, driving a truck, pick this lady up. I was giving her a ride to the get and split, we'll say, because I can't remember the actual name of the place.
I like that.
Going to the get and split, and she gets on the cell phone and starts calling somebody and is talking about the van and is, like, yelling at them and is like, like, just having this big argument and, like, hangs up. She's like, I don't give a shit. I'll leave it on the side of the road. It's not my van. Hangs up, and we get off. And one thing I always remember, they had a horse track at this exit, which is always just kind of like, all right, it's like a horse track town. Cherry Valley.
Yeah.
So
no, I can see that.
Yeah, we get off and I take her up to this gas station and I kind of pull in. There's like a shopping mall and it's, you know, kind of, it'd be like pulling into like Hibbing or something at sunset, middle of summer, like nice little small town.
Right.
People all over the place. This woman's like, well, thanks for picking me up. And I was like, no problem. Have a good day. And she starts getting out of the truck.
Oh no.
And she hits the step and then she stops and she turns around. And she goes, Les, of course, you're looking for some female company.
No.
Swear to God.
Why does she sound like that, though? Was she actually a guy?
Like, no, but that's what she sounded like.
Oh,
like,
really?
Oh, definitely.
She
like a
just
heavy
had a
smoker.
Hard,
just like, she was like making plans to go hang out at the casino later that night or something. Like,
unless you're looking
she totally
for some
like,
female company.
Yeah. I may be embellishing a bit on the accent or the...
Yeah.
I can't do it much different.
You've been watching too many Westerns, I think.
Oh, man, the Westerns. That's what we came here to talk about.
Yeah, well, that's what you said.
What did you respond? What did you tell her?
I was like, nope, I'm good. Like, I was absolutely
not, yeah.
It's not that day, not that person.
Wow. Not that's going to be, that would be a tough sell.
Yeah, it was so weird because I was on, like, the ride was done. I hadn't asked for anything. I was literally just like, I've been in this truck for, like, all week. Pick someone up for 10 minutes. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I've picked up tons of people in trucks, like, just giving them rides, hitchhikers.
Right.
I've seen a lot of that, and you can always tell they're just kind of, like, not whatever. I mean, they're all, like, hitchhiking at truck stops. But yeah. They aren't, like, murderers and crazy stuff, usually. It's just
some of them might be.
Some might, yeah. None exemplify themselves to me, Zed. There was a guy I picked up once down in southern Minnesota, and I was going north, and I was like, I'll drop you off south of the Twin Cities. And he was saying he was coming up to, like the Iron Range for the grain harvest. And I was like, what? There's no, like, grain fields up there.
Have you ever been up
there? And he's like, nope, I know all about it. I go there every year. And I was like, cool. Like,
yeah,
he was all into it. But
I'd be nervous. The thing that makes me nervous about murderers is they typically try not to dress like a murderer. You know what I mean?
Is this not like a murderer?
I think you're trying to dress like a murderer while wearing that. So because of that, I would trust you. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, like, I definitely didn't come here to murder you. So is that my ear?
But I'm just saying, like, if I saw a guy wearing what you're wearing, like, I wouldn't be afraid of it. I'd be like, this is clearly somebody who's.
Yeah, I did not intend to scare anybody with this outfit.
No, that's not scary. Casey's got a Halloween costume on. Mm-hmm. Casey's wearing a pirate costume.
It's funny because I keep forgetting that that's part of today and what we're doing because I don't see what I have on really.
Yeah,
and you're just wearing a shirt. That
I'm
says
just
delete.
Yeah, I'm just like wearing whatever kind of. Yeah, I keep forgetting it's Halloween today and then.
You're dressed as Steve Stern on Halloween typically. Like I usually won't dress up for Halloween period.
Yeah.
So like I would just be wearing like shirt, jeans, hat
shirt,
or something.
Shirt, jeans, hat.
So this is Steve Stern on Halloween.
Yeah.
This is actual Steve Stern, but the point was I keep looking at.
Casey,
and forgetting us, and I'm like, this guy's going to be.
Yeah. So you guys can't see Casey right now, but he's dressed as Steve the Pirate from the movie Dodgeball. You seen the movie Dodgeball? With Ben Stiller?
I remember it coming out, but I can't remember if I saw it or not.
It's a hilarious movie, but there's a dude named Steve the Pirate in the movie, and Casey looks a lot like him, so it's hilarious that he's dressed as Steve the Pirate.
Steve the Pirate.
Yeah.
It was funny. See, we're so off track, but I was at Starbucks getting a coffee, and I guess the guy in front of me was also named Steve, because they had, like, Steve for something that I didn't order, but I went up and looked at it, and this guy came up and grabbed it.
Yeah,
I was like, are you also Steve? And he's like, yeah. I was like, that's what are the odds?
Yeah, and then Mike not came that up. Terrible, you think?
But I was like, wrong drink, right name.
Yeah.
Right in a row.
That's funny.
Anyway, you think there'd be something built in their computer to, like, warn them, like two Sallys, like, don't make sure you differentiate.
Or maybe a first initial of your last name, like elementary school or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. Are you doing, you handing out candy for Halloween tonight?
We haven't had, you know, we live in Lincoln Park. We've never seemed to have people knocking on the doors
really?
There. Yeah. And I don't have kids. I don't understand them.
Yeah, I'm handing out candy tonight. And it's like the first time. I'm doing it because my neighbor kind of trapped me a couple of days ago.
Like
he was, I live in Lakeside and this is my first year being there.
Yeah.
And he's like, so are you all set to go for Thursday? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, it's Halloween. He's like, you're handing out candy, right? And I was like, I don't know. I hadn't really thought about it.
Uh-huh.
He's like, oh, you better go get some candy. And I was like, why? He's like, last year I got over 150 kids come by my front door. He's like, if you don't have candy that you're handing out, you're going to get teepeed. You're going to get egged. He's like, these kids are relentless, and they're not happy if you do not have candy at your door.
That sounds appropriately kind of Duluth.
I was like, all right, I guess I got to go get some candy. I mean, he was a little hostile about it. I think he was maybe even a bit dramatic. But I also, it was, you know, I think it was good, solid advice, too. So now I need to go try to find candy on the afternoon of Halloween.
Oh, it's everywhere, man.
Is it? Because I saw snaps, people were sending pictures of empty, you know, shelves. But
really?
I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, maybe.
I just hope I don't get stuck having to pass out, like, Tutti Frutti's or Tootsie Rolls or...
Don't get Good and Plenty's. Those are weird.
Yeah.
That says something. Werther's either.
Yeah, exactly. Fun. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. No handout like vitamin C gummy bears or something like that. Like, seriously, buddy? What are you trying to save my life?
Flintstones vitamins.
Yeah, Flintstones, chewables. Get out of here.
And you can't do anything that's not like packaged candy.
That's true.
Right?
That makes a lot of sense,
though. It does.
Yeah.
But that also, makes it's a lot of sense. 2019, like, you could easily mess with an Almond Joy and reseal the bag. I mean, I'm sure you can buy, like, the machine to do that on Amazon.
Yeah. No, you
and
could.
And since I'm not dressed like a murderer or I'm, or whatever it was, since I, you know, don't look like the kind of person who does these things, I can tell you with assurance, just openly share, that I think you could easily, like, pass off wrapped candy that you, like, totally
put
rat poison in.
Have you seen the,
I'm really hoping this doesn't happen anywhere near here now. Cause of
course. Well,
there's this one guy.
Yeah, there's this guy in this shady sunglasses.
All that stuff.
It's like when OJ wrote a book about how he would murder his wife, but he didn't do it.
That just came up the other day. I was like, yeah, and I can't even remember how.
He's making a comeback. OJ is.
He's the comeback kid. Like,
yeah,
he
puts out a video every day on Twitter talking about news, just like, you know, recent news. He says he starts every single one with "Hey Twitter world," and then he goes off about what's happening in the news or in sports. Or, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But did you see the video of those college kids who are taking Capri Suns and they're taking syringes and pulling vodka out of the vodka bottle, and then they're syringing it into the Capri Sun, and then they heat up a spoon, and then they melt the backs of the Capri Suns again, so they reseal it. So they put vodka in it.
So you don't know.
They sneak it into events or
I have this pre-sealed
into
pouch.
School. They're just like, yeah, it's just a Capri Sun. What are you talking about? Would you think you'd do that, Casey?
Get with it, Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa. Yeah.
So you, like, mix it with the Capri Sun. So they
keep the Capri Sun in there, but then they just put vodka.
And how old are the people doing this? Like 20?
College age. So, yeah, 19 through 21.
See, genius.
I'm like, how square are adults to think that 20-year-olds are still, like, bringing a Capri Sun for a snack later?
I don't know. So, you know.
I mean, when I was 20, that's not what we were up to.
Yeah, I would definitely be, if I saw a kid at an event with a Capri Sun, I'd be like, what are you doing drinking that Capri Sun?
Right, yeah, you don't break. That's like a
really
9-year-old thing.
Yeah.
For people like, well, they eat their snacks.
There's hardly any liquid in it. I don't even like, they're too small, and the juice boxes are too small. I don't know.
I was drinking a milk juice box today. See that?
Oh, Silk.
Feels funny.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Silk ain't no milk I ever heard of.
Speaking of tones such as that one.
Yeah, the Westerns.
The Westerns.
Maybe we'll talk about them.
So, yeah, maybe we will. I don't know. Maybe we'll talk about something else that comes up in conversation. No, so like I said, I asked Steve. I was like, yeah, so anything you want to talk about, we can talk about it. And he said, we're talking about Westerns.
Westerns are interesting.
Let me know why, because I know little about Westerns.
Little,
except for, you know, they take place in the West.
Well, I think I'm particularly interested in them because, you know, my dad, he's like 71 years old. He would have been like a first generation of like original, like when these shows like Have Gun Will Travel were on.
Yeah.
From like 1958 to 1961 or whatever. My dad was like 10 to 12 years old.
Okay.
So that would have been like, you know, for now, like when you talk about SpongeBob and YouTube and all the stuff, you know, it was millennials had to watch. There literally was like you could watch a couple shows that were on these tiny little screens. You could only watch them when they were aired.
Yeah.
You know, there was no, like, streaming.
Which is frustrating.
You couldn't record any of it. I mean, it was, you could watch when it aired.
Yeah.
And so, like, and that was the only kind of real, like, that was a super futuristic, exciting media. So I think about, like, my parents' generation and how they were kind of shaped and formed. Because that, think of how big of a, outsize of a role those shows and those things played, right?
Yeah.
Because that was all there was. So I'm kind of fascinated because of that.
And you said they kind of incorporated politics sometimes into the Westerns, or no? Or, like, let's, like, compare it to, like, South Park. So South Park uses politics in their episodes as humor. Was it on any level like that?
No.
Not with the humor, of course, but they would incorporate the politics
into the shows. Here's what's a whole other way I like talking about Westerns a lot. This is, like, the 1950s, right? Mid to late 50s, early 60s.
Elvis.
Early still for television. It's been around for 30 years, 25 years.
In the 50s it had been?
Yeah, it started in like television? The 30s.
Oh, wow. That's 20s, earlier than
30s.
I thought.
Yeah.
I would have guessed television came out in the 50s.
Television started being like something very common for people to have in the 50s.
Yeah.
So imagine if you had a cell phone in the 80s. That would be like having a television in the 30s.
Oh, okay.
Having a television in the 50s was more like having a television in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Having a cell phone in the late 90s.
Yeah, and now, like, it's just all screens. Like, right. Everything is a screen.
We're on a screen right now.
Yes.
Someone's watching us on a screen right now.
If I bought these somewhere way fancier, I could be watching a screen in these while I'm talking to you on a screen, right?
Yeah.
And I could be watching an episode of The Love Boat or something.
The Love Boat.
Nobody knows about. It's a horrible show.
I don't know what that is either.
You don't want to know. It's a terrible show.
What's it about?
It's a cruise ship. It came out in like 1980. The show did, and the cruise ship was like for love, connecting, romance, travel.
Yeah.
And every week they'd have like different guest stars who would be like other network TV stars and such.
Right.
And they would travel like on the Love Boat, and there'd be some problem, like, you know, this kid's parents are getting split up, or I don't know, stupid. And they'd like solve the problem.
Okay.
The staff of the boat would like bore you to death. I'm falling asleep while I'm telling you about this.
Back to Westerns, then.
Westerns are awesome. Yeah. So, Parents' Generation, it's 1950s, 1960s. It's early. It's like 20, 30 years of television, whereas now we're into like 70, 80 years or something. Television's been around forever now.
Yeah,
they've had a lot of practice, a lot of time to learn how to do it.
Yeah.
You watch the early episodes, the early shows, some of the stuff that was the first real like mass market commercial TV to come out.
Yeah.
They had no idea what they were doing.
I bet.
Have Gun Will Travel. If you watch this, it's on at 7 and 7:30, 5 days a week on Heroes and Icons, channel
6.3.
Yep, right now on your antenna. You can watch it every weekday, 7 and 7:30 a.m.
Have Gun Will Travel, it's called?
Yeah, and the opening credits for the show, it's just a side shot of this guy and his holster in his hand, and it's this music that just kind of goes like, da, 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 da.
Oh, nice.
And then there's sort of like a little like interlude, and he'll pull the gun out and point it right at the camera.
Yeah.
And it's all you see is just the gun and his hand and like his waist.
Yeah.
And in a lot of the episodes, there's just nothing. It's just a gun pointing. And then it'll go back in, and it's like, dun, 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 and then the show starts.
Oh, okay.
And it's like 10 seconds long, and it'll just say like, Have Gun Will Travel, Richard Boone.
Got it.
That's the actor.
So when was that filmed?
But then some episodes, just out of nowhere, the gun will come out, and he'll say something, and it'll be like, you've been on my nerves for 6 days, friend, and your time is running out. Dun, dun, dun. And then it's like, sometimes there's talking, sometimes there's not. And it's once you watch the episode, you're like, oh, he was talking about that. Like, now we get it. But
yeah,
it's really weird. It's like they were just... One week, they're like, let's change it up, just do something different.
Right.
And now, like, things are very polished. Continuity is a big deal.
Well, there's, like, Family Guy has, or The Simpsons, actually, is a better example, where they'd all run onto the couch,
yeah.
But it would be different each time
yeah. They
sat down on the couch. So a lot of people, then Family Guy does something like that differently with their intro.
But see, they planned that way ahead of time, and, like, it's yeah. Like, oh, like, The Simpsons have had that since episode one, and it's funny.
Right.
And Bart always writes something different on the chalkboard, but yep. It's exactly the same, but different. This was, like, you could tell, a lot of the episodes will go, like, there's some conflict between two parties, and it's, you know, arguing, and who's going to win, and get their way, and at the end, like, one person will be like, you know what, I give up, and, like, walk away. Like, there'll be some total, we don't have any more time to go through this story, let's just end it here. Like,
yeah. They just
gave up and quit. It's really sloppy writing. A lot of the stuff doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
It's really just like, it's like a vehicle to like parade some white dude with a gun on a horse around and just be like, I'm the right thing, you know?
So when was that like filmed?
1958 to 1961 was Have Gun Will Travel.
Okay. Yeah, no, I feel like people were so, they were so easily entertained like on TV then. Do you know what I mean?
You didn't have 10 million options.
Yeah.
Like, even as a kid, I grew up in the 1980s in a rural part of Colorado, and we had antenna television, just like I do now, weirdly enough. And we got three channels, or maybe like a fourth, kind of. It's like we had ABC, NBC, PBS. Or we had NBC, PBS, Fox, and maybe kind of hazy, like CBS or something.
Okay.
But it wouldn't come in well. Super grainy, like old TV. Like
yep.
We had one black and white, one color. I'm not trying to sound like I'm ancient here, but it's weird how that stuff, like you can be on these weird cusps.
Yeah.
And so TV kind of, I don't know, so there'd be a couple shows I liked watching, and then it generally would just suck. It'd be like, there's absolutely nothing on.
Yeah.
And that was 30, 40 years after the period we're talking about.
Right.
So it had advanced quite a bit by then.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were all these reruns and things. Back then, I imagine there was a show on for a while, and then it was just off the air.
Yeah.
You know?
Could you imagine if he would show, if he showed them like Transformers or something like that? Like if he went back to the 50s.
I used to think about that.
And put like Transformers into a DVD player and said like, just watch this.
So, you know,
they would probably, they would think it's real.
You look at like a 4K video or whatever K they're up to now. Like, you know, you go to Best Buy.
I think we're at 10. Are we at 10? Or no? Is it 4K? Is the
5K?
5K. 5K.
Maybe.
Okay.
Well, whatever K it is, Special K, you know.
Yeah.
I might know they come out with Special K TV.
Like the cereal?
Yeah, it's just like it's a TV designed to very expertly display rice flake cereal.
Yeah, or, you know, it's more heart healthy compared to other TVs.
The TV, yeah.
Yeah.
Low cholesterol, right. Trans fat free.
Yeah.
5K viewing experience in true black.
Yeah. Special K is good, but I find myself, I don't eat cereal often, but if I do, I'll get like something like Special K.
Yeah.
But then I find myself like sprinkling sugar on it anyway. I'll be like, what am I doing? Who am I doing?
You sprinkle sugar on the cereal.
Yeah.
That, so I recently watched a movie from the 80s, Caddyshack, and they had on the kitchen table, they were like eating breakfast, like cornflakes, milk, orange juice, part of your complete breakfast thing. And they had like a cereal bowl full of sugar, and the kid grabbed it and spooned a bunch of sugar into the cereal.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah. I remember doing that when I, and that was a thing.
No, that's a thing.
And it's still around. You still do that.
Again, I probably haven't eaten cereal in a year, maybe 2 years. I'd never do it. But if I'm at like a good example actually is if I'm at like a hotel and they have a continental breakfast, I'll get like the cornflakes. But listen, cornflakes
suck. High five to that, man.
Yeah. Cornflakes, they're whatever.
Yeah, but hotel breakfast is usually
continental breakfast.
Horrendous.
Yeah, but it's nice to have it, you know. And it's kind of like you can eat as much as you want, too, which is exciting. But I'll do cornflakes, and I will put sugar on top of it. But if I'm getting cereal, it's got to be Cinnamon Toast Crunch every day, all day, every day of the week.
I haven't had that since probably the 90s.
That's the best cereal out there. Reese's Puffs, it's a close second for me, Reese's Puffs is.
Really?
But Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it's not even...
What about Life?
It's not even... Holy cow. This is ridiculous.
Like,
Life?
How'd this guy end up on this podcast?
Casey, Life? Have you ever had Life cereal?
No. But I gotta say, my favorite cereal is Raisin Bran.
What?
Okay. He's gotta leave or I gotta leave. One of us has gotta go. Raisin Bran? Raisin Bran is like punishment to me. Like if you made
me eat it. That's how I feel about Life.
I couldn't even. Really? Life is like sweet and crispy and delicious. Raisin Bran has raisins in it. And then like cardboardish.
Yeah, I really like the bran flakes.
That's ridiculous.
Did you grow up on it?
Yeah, I don't know why. I eat it every day on campus and they have a limited amount that you eat. It's pretty nice.
And are there other cereals to choose from?
Yeah, they have Frosted Flakes.
And you choose that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Wait, you have Frosted Flakes.
I feel like that's what they would serve, like, prisoners as Raisin Bran. To torture them.
Yeah, and here's a block of government cheese.
Yeah, how is prison not that bad? Worst part, Raisin Bran.
Is it corn?
Is what?
What is Life?
Life is rice.
Oh.
It's like a rice, like Chex kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's like Chex that are sweet, not Chex with a bunch of
It's underwhelming,
Cheetos. Huh. Yeah, I don't really eat cereal, though.
I don't eat it that often, either. No, I don't know. But Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
It's a good tie-in with the Westerns, though, because that was, like, how they advertised to kids. It was, like, Westerns and cereal and things, you know.
Yeah.
That would be the beginnings. And that's what I was talking about. It's not that they dealt with politics and stuff. It's that when I think about, like, my parents', you know, age group and think about those shows, how much information got kind of programmed into people from, like, right and wrong and what were the commercials that were on and all the stuff was, like, directly feeding in. The same way they worry about kids with, like, smartphones now.
Yeah.
Kids just watching a black and white TV with, like, you know, The Rifleman starring Chuck Connors on it.
Right.
Was a big...
Yeah.
That was okay.
I feel like young boys learned how to be a man from these characters like Clint Eastwood and those old Western characters.
Clint Eastwood, you could watch him. The first show he was on was Rawhide in the, like, late 50s, early 60s.
Wow.
That's on After Have Gun Will Travel.
And that dude's still doing movies.
And, yeah, you can watch him...
He was just on that movie Mule.
Oh, I didn't put it in my story. I sent somebody a snap of Clint Eastwood on Rawhide this morning. He was like 20 when he was on that show or something.
Crazy.
He's a kid.
Yeah.
He probably couldn't drink. And he played...
Or it was probably...
His character's name was Rowdy Yates.
Nice.
Rowdy.
Rowdy Yates.
Did your parents name you Rowdy?
Yeah.
I mean, if they knew, you're going to be a drover. That's what a cattle cattle hauler.
I don't see a parent naming someone their kid Rowdy. But I don't know. I think sometimes I'm surprised by what parents name their kids. I think we mentioned this on an earlier episode in the podcast, but it's crazy to me that somebody can, like, this beautiful baby comes out of the mom, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is the most adorable thing. I love it more than anything else. I'm going to go ahead and name it Hubert, or I'm going to name it something along those lines. Something that you're like, what?
Gertrude.
Yeah, Gertrude, or I don't even know.
You got to be careful, you know, because names are somebody out there is like,
someone's like,
Gage.
That's my name.
Gage, though.
Yeah.
Gage. I mean, it's a cool name.
I think my parents told me that some of the inspiration for my name came from the movie Pet Sematary.
I haven't seen it.
It came out mid-90s, around the time that I was born.
Sometimes the pop culture influences stuff.
And it was a horror film.
Yeah.
And there was a young boy in the movie named Gage who was playing in the street and was hit by a semi. And then they buried him in this mystical cemetery. And then he came back evil and he started killing the family. So
okay.
I assume they didn't want that for me, but they liked the name. They didn't want me to get hit by a semi and then...
Well, and you're probably past the age where that would have been a thing.
I'm beyond it. And
yep.
I've never...
Been tested for it and all that.
Yeah, well, I did get tested, and the results came back negative for any of that.
Oh. I don't have a clue why I got my name. I don't know where it came from.
Steve, just a... Yeah.
Just threw it in there, like, that sounds good.
Just like, yeah, no, it's Steven.
I'm always kind of fascinated. I've never met any, but apparently there are a lot of...
You've
women.
Never met a Steve?
No, not a Steve.
Oh.
Woman named Rhiannon, because with that song, Fleetwood Mac song came out, apparently.
I know
it was
a woman
like a
named
lot
Rhiannon.
Of people. And you might.
I sold a house to a girl named Rhiannon.
Yeah.
Recently, this year, actually.
I bet they never get tired of being asked about Fleetwood Mac. Like, so we got
maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, that could be it, actually.
I don't know how it works, but if you
that probably
find
is.
Out for me. Because
okay.
if you get one person's anecdotal
some,
response,
I'll
that'll
do some
be...
digging. I'll do some digging on that one, and I'll see.
Yeah.
Do they still make? They don't still make westerns, do they? Or I guess what would it
oh,
be
sure.
now?
Oh, sure. There's modern west. I mean,
I suppose
maybe not on TV as much, but there's like movies that come out.
Yeah, like,
I'm not like some super huge devotee of the genre or anything.
Right.
I just really the thing I like about it is like okay, getting into it. Have Gun Will Travel. He is this like West Point graduate. This is the whole like description of Paladin, the main character. He's a West Point graduate. He was in
Got
the
it.
Civil War.
Oh,
he,
wow.
Yeah, he lives in a hotel in San Francisco, and he's just kind of like a fancy rich guy who drinks champagne and reads literature and plays poker and, like, chess. But he also is a gunfighter for hire, so these people will, like, wire him.
And like, when does this take? Like, I know when it was filmed in the 50s, but when does it, like, take?
It's supposed to be, like, 1875.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay.
So... He lives in this hotel in San Francisco, and there's like this Chinese guy whose name is Hey Boy, and in the credits, that's what he's credited. And this is part of what I like about watching these is how it's like this was filmed and put on television and recorded. It's like in our modern era, people like to think of it as oh, but that's the 19th century. But no,
yeah.
That was like when our parents were kids, what was on TV.
Yeah.
It was just this funny thing that, like, there was a Chinese guy named Hey Boy. And I'm like, how did that make it? What? Like, it makes no sense. It's really
yeah.
weird. And they're still airing it to this day.
Right.
And people are actually pretty unaware of that. There's also some episodes, like I say, they just switch things up out of nowhere, where there's Hey Girl, who, like, Hey Boy's not on the episode, so she's in charge. And what happens in most episodes is Hey Boy will bring him, like, a newspaper or a letter. And it'll be like there's some trouble out in the territory somewhere, like a bank was robbed.
Yeah.
And so it'll literally just flip. He'll whip his business card out that says, like, Have Gun Will Travel, Wire Paladin, San Francisco.
Right.
It's kind of weird. These are a lot of questions I have. He whips his card out and, like, kind of shows it to himself. And then he's like, okay, well, I'm reading this newspaper article about a bank robbery. I'm going to show myself my business card in reference to that.
Yeah.
And then it's just going to flip the scene, and here I am in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
That's how you – I kind of wonder if people from that – like, were people just dumber then, do you think?
I think it – well, because there was nothing – there wasn't, like, good TV shows to reference it against. So.
Yeah.
And you're also talking about a genre that was made for 9-year-old boys. So they were like, whatever,
yeah.
horses, guns, adventures.
I suppose.
You know?
It was maybe a way to remind the viewers, like, hey – Remember me, I'm a gunslinger. Now I have to go. I don't know.
Well, see, when he was out and about. Like
my other question is, where do you get a business card in that time?
Yeah, if you had a business card in 1875,
there's no
you
way Vistaprint existed.
Yeah, that's like having like the 3D goggles now or something, right? Like,
yeah, if you had a business card.
Pretty high tech.
I don't even know where. Do they just chisel it out of a tree?
I'll tell you, you can tell the value it had because he didn't necessarily let people hang on to it. He's like,
here, take it. Okay, now give it back.
So, like, if I was the bank robber, you know, Paladin might bust in here and just be like, Mr. Stern, and I'd be like, uh-oh. And I'd be like, who are you? And he'd come over, and then he'd whip out his card, and I'd look at it and be like, oh, shoot, you're a gunfighter. Like,
oh.
Oh, no.
So it served as a form of identification almost because it was so difficult to have, like, a counterfeit business card just because it's so tough to get your hands on one. So if it says it on the piece of paper, like,
well, what's
how are you going to argue that?
Think about the advertisement for his business. This is another continuity piece I don't quite get. His business card says, have gun, will travel. So it's like, you have a problem, you need a gunfighter to come solve. Oh, here's a guy with a gun, and he's willing to travel around with it.
Right.
But it's 1875. Everybody has a gun.
That's true.
Right? They're all over the place. Like, no one goes out without a gun in that time.
Yeah.
So, like, why would you have to go to the trouble and expense of, like,
yeah,
sending a telegram to San Francisco and waiting for this dude to, like, ride his horse across America to come fix your problems.
Right. Of the things to advertise, having the gun part seems probably least relevant. And the traveling thing, that's worth mentioning, because I imagine traveling back then was extremely tough. So the fact that this guy's willing to travel, there's some value there. But he should change the business card to, like, will kill, will travel, or something like that. Because you're like, oh. All right. And then, like, how he does it, why would it matter to me, I guess? All I know is that he kills, and he must have a fast horse or something, because he's willing to travel.
Yeah, it's weird. There's, like, he has a horse, but sometimes he just... There's also lots of things where, like, he rides the train to get to some faraway city.
Right.
But then you see him dipping around on a horse, and it's like, did you bring your horse on the train? Or did you get a horse when you got there?
That's a good point.
Yeah, and there's just weird... It's just full of weird stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you can do that a lot with a lot of movies now. It's just like sit and pick it apart and be like, well, that's not realistic because here's why. So, I mean, but I bet back then it was like a whole new level. You can just continuously tear these films apart about how they're all the holes in their stories and
you
things.
Know, I like watching them when I wake up in the morning. I don't really like intently watch. There's another one called Rawhide, the one that Clint Eastwood's on.
Got it.
I don't watch it much. But what I've noticed is Rawhide is about this gang of drovers, and drovers are people that would cowboy the cattle around, you know, get them from Kansas City to, I don't know, Tucumcari or something, wherever cows come and go to.
Right. I don't know. I don't know where cows go.
Well, see, this is a good point, because what would happen on this show is that they would be, like, driving the cattle to Kansas City, and lo and behold, they're lost, and they can't find water, and nobody knows how to get anywhere.
Yeah.
But all the guys on the cattle drive are talking about how they've been doing this their whole life since, you know, whatever, like 50 years. And it's like, how do you not ever have any idea where every episode they're lost and they can't find their way, but they're like, you've never gone through any of these like weird mountain places twice.
Right.
So they're supposing that every time these guys went on a cattle drive, they took a different route.
Like, that sounds really dangerous.
You'd think it would probably actually be routine. Like, nope, we go this way back and forth and just move all these cows.
It should be, especially without maps, you know.
And it's kind of like Star Trek. You know, the whole thing with Star Trek is they, like, send, like, four of the main characters down to the planet, and then the one with the red shirt and the one with the red shirt ends up getting killed.
Right.
So every episode of Rawhide, they're, like, moving the cows along, and then they pause for a minute, and then somebody has to, like, go into town or gets a letter or something. And so, like, one of the characters is like, I got to dip for a minute. I'll catch up with you guys.
Yeah.
And then they go to town, and then it all cuts loose. Like, sometimes, like, somebody inherited a bunch of money from their uncle, and they're like, I'm here to get it. But they find out there's a bunch of catches, and they get sucked into this big thing. But then all the other cattle guys are like, hey, he's not back yet. Like, a few days later, and they somehow swoop in at the last minute.
Because, like, they couldn't, like, text or tweet at each other. Like,
yeah, they'd, like, save him from the crooked sheriff, you know?
Yeah, the crooked sheriff.
And,
do you think you'd like to live in that time?
Hell no.
Really?
Absolutely not.
If you could travel back to any specific time, when would it be?
Soap, hot water, indoor plumbing, electricity all have to exist.
Really?
I would love to, like, be a voyeur, like, spectator on old-timiness.
Yeah.
But anyone who thinks it's more fun to live pre, like, sanitation and convenience is out of their mind. Like,
yeah, this is coming from the mold guy, too, so everybody remember that. No, people tell me that, too. Like, sometimes I hear people say, like, ugh, they'll see like pictures from like the roaring 20s and they'll be like, oh, that looks like so much fun. I was born in the wrong generation. I want to be like, what?
Cars went like, 40 no miles. Way. Have you ever driven a Model T?
No.
It's ridiculous. It's like they aren't, cars weren't like just hop in and go.
Yeah.
They were kind of tricky and weird. You had to do like. Like a Model
it was like
T.
solving a puzzle every time you wanted to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, and a Model T, you have to like prime it, do the choke, set the spark advance,
and you had to like twist
throttle.
The thing in the grill, didn't you?
Some of them you had to crank start. Some of them had like an electric start.
Oh, fancy.
But once they're running, it's not a gas pedal to accelerate. You set the throttle. Have you ever driven a Bobcat?
No.
Okay, so you set the throttle. You're like, I'm going to have it be
oh,
like.
Oh, so it just like it's like a cruise control.
Think of like a boat motor out of the water. You can just rev that sucker up.
Yep.
Right, here's where the motor's at, and now we're going to slip it into the gear, which is a pedal you push down and a lever you pull back, and then release the pedal and push the lever again. It's like it has two speeds, and then as you're driving, you have to adjust the throttle up and down with your hand, but as you change the throttle, you have to change the spark advance timing, so there's another lever that has to be like,
oh my gosh,
oh, it's running like crap, like, there we go.
That's crazy. I feel like everybody was a mechanic back then.
Model Ts are so complicated to drive that they have a gravity-fed carburation system.
Okay.
So if they go uphill too long, they fuel starve and run out of gas. So the only way to get up a long, constant grade in a Model T is to drive up backwards so the gas is flowing down toward the engine.
Sounds awful.
Would I like to live in the 1920s? No. It would have taken me an hour to get here from Lincoln Park, and I might be dead because cars were death traps, things were hard.
Yeah.
And there'd be no make, if you're used to this modern world, there'd be no getting used to that.
Right. Okay, so you said if you could spectate on a time in the past.
Endlessly fascinated, but I would not give up modern world life.
Which time would you like to spectate on?
Oh, jeez. Like real far back. Egypt or Romans or something like that.
Like dinosaurs?
Nah.
Okay.
I mean, it would be cool, but I feel like you'd get over it kind of quick.
I think so too.
Big. It'd be cool. Well, here's
it's
the
like going
problem,
to the
though.
Zoo. It's cool like for the first few seconds, then you're like, I don't know, tiger's cool, but...
But here's something else to think about. We always think about, like, go back in time and see things, right? That'd be cool. But it doesn't work like HBO, where if I went back to ancient Rome, everybody would be speaking Roman, and I wouldn't have a clue what was going on anywhere, right?
Yeah.
They wouldn't... This is another question. This is kind of in the Western's thing. It's why I like it. If you ever notice how, like, movies about Rome or, like, ancient things, everyone has a British accent.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's, like, the guy talking to the Roman emperor. He's calling him my lord. And you're like, that's not how they talked in Italy. And I'm not that
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know any difference, though. Yeah, I think Rome would be really cool to spectate. The Colosseum, those big fights.
Seeing that kind of
that would be
amazing.
Really graphic, but
yeah,
that would be kind of cool. Seeing Gaius Julius Caesar do his thing.
Right. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't know what would be... But if I could really, if I could go back to live in any time, I'd want to be in the 1960s.
I'd probably go back to like yesterday. I wouldn't go back very far.
You just go back to yesterday?
Yeah.
You just like remember your keys or something? Or
no, I don't even know what I would. I don't even know what I would change. I just like you said. I mean, this. I feel like life gets easier for us every single day that we're alive.
This is a hell of a privilege.
With
time
technology
to be
and sanitation and. Communication and education, like everything that we need. Most of the things that we need are completely right here on the supercomputer that we all carry in our pockets. So, like, I wouldn't go back very far at all. I might go back to, like, right before we started the podcast.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'd go back.
Whoa, wait, what's that mean?
Yeah, and I wouldn't change anything. I would just be like, okay, this is
just
fine.
Just do it over again. Yeah. Like, remember everything you said.
Yeah, I would maybe change something up and see how you answer differently.
Ah. Yeah, there are. Oh, see, now that's a funny thing.
I would say instead of you not looking like a murderer, that you do look like a murderer.
Oh,
in your hat, and be like, and just kind of see how you react into that.
I mean,
Casey, when would you go back?
That's a good question.
Would you go back to like the 1600s because you're dressed like a pirate and go to the Caribbean?
Ancient Greek. I don't even know what era that technically is.
That's like
ancient Greek. I don't know, 1940s.
I think it was like I think it was like 100 to 1000 AD could be considered ancient Greece.
Super interesting.
Something like, yeah.
Yeah.
Because pre-Rome... Because
I think Julius Caesar was born in, I think, like 30 AD or something like that.
Also, it'd be terrifying.
Or 100 AD.
Look back then.
Yeah, it would be scary.
A lot of killing.
I'm pretty sure.
You just get hanged.
You know, before guns, everybody that died from violence died from, like, stabs and cuts. And
yeah.
Like, you know,
it was
like,
never like he died a noble death. Like, he's,
and none
he
of
died
it was quick.
Screaming and holding his intestines.
No one ever died quick back then,
no.
Right? It was, like, very
no.
little instant, just check
yeah.
out.
Going against the lion in the Colosseum actually may have been, that may have been a pleasant way to die. Because they might just bite your head off and it's quick.
It'll, quicker, or, yeah.
You couldn't even get hit by a car, really. Or maybe jump off. A tall building, which at that time the tallest might have been like 10 feet tall, so you might just break an arm or something.
Then again, you never know what happens. I mean, I think the president was recently just talking about shutting down the airports in the Revolutionary War. Did you catch that?
He was talking about that we're going to have a Revolutionary War?
No. It was like a month or two ago, wasn't that recent? But he was talking about, he was doing some speech, he was talking about how they did what they had to do in the American Revolution. Like, they shut down the airports or something. Like, he slipped that in and was like, what? Like,
everyone's like, wait a minute.
Hold on.
Is he joking?
Well, okay, so it always comes back like he was joking, right? But that was, remember the Sharpie Gate where they were, like, drawn?
I don't think so.
Do kids not follow politics? This stuff is like...
I don't watch the news.
I'm sorry I called you a kid. I didn't mean that.
No, that's...
But when I'm, like, talking about policy, yeah. No,
right.
Was,
when I talk about college kids, I call them kids all the time. And then they're like, I don't know, it's just easier.
So there's this thing, like, you know, Trump said that the hurricane was going to hit Alabama, and it was never projected to, and so he, like, changed this... Somebody changed this National Weather Service map with a Sharpie. It looked like, which he's known for doing. So then everybody started changing things, like photos of him with Sharpies, and some of them were hilarious. And one of them was like giving this speech about something, and they drew like little like biplanes over like a Revolutionary War poster.
I love those memes. Did
yeah.
you see? I did see the photo that came out of Trump and his cabinet or whoever watching that video of that recent. Death of the ISIS guy, or
versus the Obama,
yeah,
one.
Something
yeah.
like that. But people were having fun with it, and they kept like putting characters into the. So
those.
There was like a photo. So again, it's a photo of Trump, and you can see all of the electrical equipment is unplugged. So it's a completely staged photo of them pretending to watch,
right?
Pretending to watch this thing going on. But people started like someone slipped in like Bruce Willis in the background, and one person slipped in like Hulk Hogan, like just sitting there like
awesome.
Watching it like that.
America.
It is so funny. Those memes are too hilarious.
That is something really nice about the future, like all the people that can create content and things like
yeah.
that you're not, so that's the thing. When like my dad was a kid, all there was Westerns. When I was a kid,
yeah.
all there was like whatever was on these couple of channels.
Right.
Now it's like everything, everywhere, all the time.
You can watch anything that you want right now.
Yeah, there's all these different forms of content, and so it's interesting to see what will people be like in 50 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but...
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody could ever even predict it. I don't know.
I remember watching, like, movies in the 80s when I was a kid, and they would have, like, video calls where you'd have, like, a big old TV.
Yeah.
You'd both be, like, talking to each other in a booth in your house.
Right.
And I distinctly remember, and you can't really fault, like, an 8-year-old for not knowing, but I was like, that'll never happen. It's completely impossible.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's out of the question.
Yeah.
And actually, video calling is, you know.
That's pretty common.
Have they come up with that yet?
Video calling? I was like, wait a minute, what?
What? Yeah.
Yeah, like cell phones are still crazy to me. Even just like cord phones, I think I still don't totally understand how you can speak into one end and it comes out like across the country. I mean, that's still
how, like, when you look at these early TV things, there was a time when like black and white and color, like, oh, someday these images might be in color.
Yeah.
And like you had said, what if you could go back and show, like, what if, you know, some kid watching Have Gun Will Travel. You're like, hey, do you want to see this on, like, 100-inch, like, 4K?
Yeah.
And, like, see what else is possible? They'd be like, this is more vivid than real life looks, right?
Yeah.
Like, clothes have drab
colors.
Oh, yeah, and
exactly.
That was, like, the big technology leap of the day. So, back then, you would be talking to somebody, and you'd be like, oh, TV could be in color someday. You'd be like, yeah, that's cool. That'd be really amazing to see. And you'd be like, but get this. We'll have, like, flat screens that are super crazy high def and, like,
yeah.
crystal clear images. And then they'd be like, I can't even think of what you mean by that.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't even, it wouldn't
I don't understand
sound,
that.
Yeah, it would sound
really, so my sound question, dumb, in that same, you know, that same sort of root problem, what are we not seeing that's possible from, because I look at screens and technology, I'm like, yeah, we're done developing everything.
Yeah.
It all exists now, right? All
right.
Of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's over, but it's not. The next things are going
to
be
the next,
alarming.
Yeah, no, that's what, it's impossible to know, but I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody. Somebody was asking me a question about Bitcoin. Do you know anything about Bitcoin?
A little bit. I know
cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
I think that the underlying technology, blockchain, which is what makes Bitcoin work, I think that's something that's going to have a greater impact on us as humans, I guess, than the internet did. I think it's going to be crazy. The things that you can do, I've read a few books on blockchain, and the things that you can do with blockchain is ridiculous.
Like what?
So let's use Bitcoin as an example, because that's something that pretty much everybody knows. Bitcoin is a way to, it's a money that you can transfer from person to person for free and instantly, which is awesome. Because right now you can't really do much of that. You can use Venmo, but then you have to use the middleman of Venmo, and I think they take a small share of something when you transfer it to your bank account. Or something like that. So they take a little piece of it, but Bitcoin is free. And then you can look at like these third world countries where maybe 60% of their GDP, the money they collect as the country, comes from charities or donations of other countries. But when these other countries send money to them, they have to wire it through like Western Bank or whomever. And Western Bank takes like sometimes 40% of the money that they're wiring. So if they were able to just send these large amounts of cash over them through cryptocurrency, then the GDP of these third world countries would like.
Do you think the United States will start Venmoing?
Big time. They wouldn't Venmo. They would send through Bitcoin. But also, there was an idea that I had read where for anyone who doesn't know, blockchain is just a way to store data, essentially. And it's extremely secure. It can't be hacked. And the reason that it can't be hacked is because the identity of each new piece of information that comes in is reliant on the identity of that piece before it and the piece after it. So if you wanted to change one piece of information in a blockchain,
yeah,
you would need to change the entire chain, which could be
millions. Oh, because every other domino is affected.
Every other domino
is
the identity of that is reliant on that and that and that. So it's impossible to alter the chain. So what they're saying is every time a baby is born, rather than getting a birth certificate, they would get a blockchain. And then every single transaction and every single thing that this baby does from the time that it's born, starting with it being born, is being recorded on its own blockchain.
Nothing creepy about that.
Well, the thing is they have total control of their own blockchain. So they can release any information that they'd like. So let's say that baby turns 21 years old and trying to get into a bar. Rather than showing a bouncer an ID, and then you have to show the bouncer your name, your address, all this information. The only thing the bouncer needs to know is how old you are. They can just pull out their blockchain tool and just be like, here, this says that I'm 21. He'd be like, oh, you're good to go.
Now, do you think, because we see in movies and TV all the time, when that technology exists and happens, do you think, like, when they let the person in, it'll make some kind of computery noise, like, bleep?
Yep, I think it'll be like, beep, boop, or something.
Or will it just be silent?
Something along those lines. Yeah. Yeah. But also there was
you know what I mean? Like, space, electric-y kind of noise shit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Well, maybe. It'll probably just vibrate, I think.
Do you think those noises, someone will hear and be like, I know what that means?
Yeah.
Or it just is a random sound, like a ringtone kind of?
No, I think they'll know. Because even now, I'll hear a tone on my phone, and I'll know exactly the notification that I just got. I'll hear something like, ooh, she got a new showing. Like,
right. Super on topic. Have you ever been to one of those gas stations where
the pump and dump?
No, not the pump and dump. It's more like the crunch and jam. That one I made up. It wasn't that good. There's so many weird ones. But those gas stations were like the registers are kind of slot machine-y in that they have like ba-ding, like uh-oh. Like every time someone asks for cigarettes or something that needs an ID, it literally goes uh-oh.
Oh,
and
really?
Then they're like, oh, that's the ask for ID sound. Or
I don't think I've seen that.
When it's like a ding, like a bell, that means like thing approved.
Yeah.
And so these people are trained with all the like wacky, like, it literally is like the whoop, like the weird whistles and stuff.
No, yeah, there's like the audio censorship that.
It's not even that new. This has been around. I mean, it's not common, but there are certain gas stations and places you go in. It'll be like kind of the weird, it's like a chain, but just, you know, for like the Tri-County area chain or something.
Right.
Nice gas station. Trying to think of the name. There's one in particular I can picture it. It's in Andover, Minnesota.
Mm.
It's not worth a trip or anything. Maybe Andover is. I don't know what Andover has to offer. I'm sure their Chamber of Commerce tends to disagree.
Of course.
But yeah, it was like all these weird names, and it was like training humans with like horribly annoying like if you have to listen to like the ting, like noise,
yeah,
like 5,000 times, like every time somebody wants to buy like a cherry Coke or whatever.
Oh, right.
Or,
yeah,
you know, the thing. I don't know.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. Definitely. Casey, what are we at for time right now?
1 hour.
1 hour, exactly. Perfect. Well, let's do the special news of the day.
Special news of the
day? I told you that I searched it before, and...
easy to find it, though.
Here's the news that I came up with. So, the headline of this news article is, man sticks cannabis in his nose and then forgets about it for 18 years.
Mm. That's something.
This is...
Did he remember?
The 48-year-old patient finally realized his breathtaking situation thanks to doctors at Sydney's Westmead Hospital, where he was referred after complaining of headaches. According to a study published earlier this week, BMJ case reports, appropriately titled Nose Out of Joint, a CT scan showed what looked like a calcified lesion in the nasal passage. So this guy stuck weed in his nose and then forgot about it, and then it calcified, and 18 years later he was complaining about headaches, and they gave him a CAT scan, and then they saw the thing in his nose. Would you ever stick weed in your nose?
But a lot of other places.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, actually, not that many, I guess.
I was like, what?
Actually, all in the same place, come to think of it.
So,
no, I would not.
Okay, yeah. No. Yeah, no, I don't. That's wild.
My parents in the cities, like, I have other parents in other places. That's where they live.
Yeah,
so everyone knows.
My Albuquerque parents.
This isn't a Duluth anecdote. Are those allowed on the show? Non-Duluth anecdotes.
Yes.
Their neighbor was from Newfoundland, and her story is that she was like 5 years old and shoved a pea up her nose, like a pea pod,
yeah,
a green pea, and didn't want to tell anyone when she like accidentally lost it up there. So she let it go until it like got weird, like a few days later, and it sprouted out of her nose.
Oh.
And her mom, her parents, like, called the doctor, and he came out and just tweezered it out and removed it. And then he gave her a Hershey bar. And she's like, that's the first time I ever ate a Hershey's bar.
Really?
Yeah, and she's probably, like, 80 years old now, so this is sort of that, like,
it's
older
sprouted
than my parents. This is, like, that generation of, like, you know, they were the parents of the kids watching those Westerns.
Oh.
And I believe this to be a 100% true story. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of like, it's good, but why would you make it up? Like, if you made it up, you'd be like, no, a whole zucchini grew out of my face.
Yeah.
You would embellish it. You wouldn't just be like, it sprouted a little, and my mom freaked out and called
the
doctor.
Yes, or like, you would be like this guy, where you would say, like, you waited 18 years, and then you got an x-ray, and it turns out you have an entire pea plant growing throughout your whole body. I don't know.
Well, like, in 2019, you would then, like, the story would go on that you, like, end up becoming, you know, you, like, win a settlement with Green Giant because, like, they didn't label them as not for nasal consumption.
Yeah, exactly. Please do not plant in
calamity.
Body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No peas in your nose.
Yeah,
you heard it here first, though. You can go home and try that. It's a good experiment. Put a pea up your nose. Weed, whatever.
Yeah.
Squash.
Throw some Miracle-Gro, snort some Miracle-Gro off the table and see what grows out of your face.
It'll be blood, probably, if you put fertilizer in there. That's my guess.
Yeah, don't do that.
Not speaking from experience.
I don't have that many viewers to where I think somebody would see that and go, I should give this a try, but don't do that. That's,
you know, wonder, like, you know how they really used to overdo it with, like, the waiver and, like, stop and don't do this stuff. Don't buy this at home.
Right.
When it was things I would, like, literally be like, people do? Would they? Why would you ever try that? Like,
yeah.
Why are they trying it on TV?
I think that, but then I think about some of the things I did, like, when I was, like, 10 years old or around that age, and you're like, all right. That was pretty weird. So I could see myself maybe doing something on those stuff. Okay, so I just, like, was looking at this, and there's a little bit more to the story.
Oh, go on.
I thought that he had just shoved weed in his nose, but
Oh, I'm sure there's a perfectly logical explanation.
Yeah, the man... Okay, so... Okay, doctors with context. Remove the object and later engage the patient. At that point, the man remembered an incident which he was about to go to prison, and his girlfriend gave him a parting gift, some weed in a rubber balloon. The man inserted the bud-filled balloon up his right nostril, but ended up inhaling it further than he expected, to the point where he thought he had swallowed it, and he forgot about it. Despite suffering numerous sinus problems since the inhalation is the word they used, the man is, yeah, so he...
That doesn't really explain anything.
That, at
why
least
would you shove
gives
a balloon in your nose?
A reason why. Well...
You're like, yeah, it's a good place to hide
this. He was trying to hide it, yeah.
And don't you think that would hurt a lot?
It would also be extremely like, obvious to any police officer.
Dry latex.
Yeah, that's true.
Dry latex in the nose. Like,
yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
No.
I couldn't even think about putting an empty balloon up there.
Right.
I mean, one thing that does ring a little true to me, and, like, weed in the late 80s, early 90s, all the Just Say No stuff, they did just terrified about these things. You would never be open about stuff. So people did do some probably fairly wacky, like...
Oh, yeah.
But I just feel like you, if you were like, I got to hide this fast, you would go for, like, the larger mouth hole.
Right.
Than the, like...
Yeah.
How much weed was it? Does it, I mean...
If it fit in his nose...
How much do you think you could fit up a nose?
I don't really know. Probably...
Not much.
I'm not really sure. I'm not good with, like, the... The measurements of what... I feel like...
The part of the story like that actually is weirdest to me is the balloon.
Probably a half a piece of broccoli size.
But, like, why would... Who puts weed in a balloon?
Right. That may have just been the only package they had around them.
Just a balloon?
Yeah, do you have, like, a little bag? No, but I have this balloon. Okay, that'll work.
A sheet of paper. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah.
A balloon? It's, like, it's hard to get in there.
It would almost be better to just stick the weed in.
How do they even get it in there? Right.
The weed would have, like, dissolved probably.
What happened to the balloon, though? Because the balloon didn't dissolve in his
nose. That's true.
How is there not?
That was the, well, the weed, I guess, probably had calcified and hardened to the balloon.
But I mean, that's not a very scientific explanation, though.
Yeah.
Like, something's not adding up.
Something's not adding up.
And that's all that information they have.
Apparently it was, you know, I don't know.
Where are their sources?
The Huffington Post. So, I don't know. Believe it if you want.
The Huff Dank Post.
Steve, you got anything else that's pressing you? Anything that's... You think you'd want to get out of your system on a podcast such as this one?
Yeah, boy, if I did, I would.
Yeah. No, I think we've... What have we... We covered some stuff. We covered the Westerns.
Yeah, we talked about that
a little bit.
There's weird shows, you know.
You being a trucker, yeah, weird shows. Westerns are weird. Talked about, I don't know, technology a little bit.
Talked about murderers and whether they would wear like a hat and glass kind of motif.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like this kind of open conversation?
Oh, yeah.
Forum kind of thing?
Absolutely.
I do too.
I don't know if I'm capable of having any other kind, really.
Right. Yeah, when I was thinking of starting a podcast, I, of course, considered doing a real estate-related one.
Yeah.
I don't know, naturally. But
well, it could help your, you know.
Yeah, it could help my business. But I feel like I would get bored really fast.
You know, honestly, we were talking about the business. You were like, oh, we'll talk about it to start out. I was like, that's great. But, I mean, I work really hard at my business, and I'm always at it. I'm always doing stuff. And I'm like, it's hard for me to get off topic from that.
Right.
Because you know it well, and you're really engaged, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
It's fun being like a business owner, especially in a small town where, like, it kind of stands out. You know, a lot of us kind of see each other doing our thing, like little groundhogs poking up.
Yep.
But it is such a relief to, like, you know, look a little silly, act a little stupid.
Oh, for sure.
Like, talk about something that is not related to...
Talk about something just ridiculous.
The biome of your home and, you know, the humidity control in this room. And
yeah.
It's important stuff.
Yeah, like, it is. It is.
Yeah, I take it seriously, but...
I don't think... Actually, wait, no, okay, I had one more thing. Okay. Somebody asked me this question, Somebody asked me this question a few weeks ago at a bar, and it's a pretty popular question, I think, but I think it's one that can be very telling of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the question. If you were stuck on an island and you brought three things with you, what three things would they be?
Mm.
Whether or not you can be rescued on this island, unknown.
Okay. And that's all of it. Just I can bring three things. I'm stuck there.
Three
for
things.
An indeterminate amount of
time.
It's
your typical sandy beach island.
Okay.
It's
so I mean
3 miles in.
I hate to ask this question, but it's like food's somehow not an issue.
You don't know much about the island other than it's 3 miles in diameter, and it's sandy, and it's like wooded. Like an island would be. So, like, there's palm trees and such. But you don't know if there's food there.
Sure. Well, I would bring... I guess I would definitely want to bring, like, some kind of source of music. If I could have, like, an iPod with 50,000 songs on it or something.
Okay.
Does that count?
Being that specific? Yeah, you could bring. I would be nervous about that because there aren't many, like, outlets. So, like...
Oh, yeah, if we're being super realistic about the thing's going to die, I mean, yeah.
It's going to die.
It's not like a nuclear battery thing. Yeah, so practical things that I would
need.
You
can bring a generator, though, and you can plug it into your iPod, into your generator, but then now you're taking up two different things just so that you can listen to Huey and the Glowfish or whatever.
I guess if I was being practical, I definitely want, like, a very high-quality, like, carbon steel knife of some sort.
Okay, that's
implement
good.
For, you know, making all kinds of things.
Mm.
I would for sure, it sounds funny, but I actually think having, like, the biggest roll of poly sheeting you can buy... I know that you could buy poly, like 6 mil poly sheets and like multi-thousand foot rolls for commercial use.
Yeah.
Having poly sheeting would be really handy. You could be like waterproof, airtight, make a heated structure. You could add a lot of foraged things to poly. You could
That's
also
a very
use
practical
it
thing to bring.
To collect water because you could make like a solar kind of enclosure and condensate.
See, that's something I never would have thought to bring. So that's actually good that I hear you say that just in case I'm ever actually put in this situation.
Thermal and moisture control are going to have a lot to do with comfort, and you're able to make water that way. You're able to contain heat.
Right.
So if you want to survive, you need an implement to work and build with and do food things. That's your knife. Poly sheeting seems like if it can be one thing, it must be a gigantic roll of that just landed on the beach.
Yeah.
And a third thing... Can a thing be a dog?
Yeah.
I'll bring a dog.
For sure.
Yep. Companionship, company, security.
Yeah, would you eat it?
Hell no.
If
of course not.
Though.
I might eat
it. I would
it.
Just die. I would not eat the dog.
Really?
No.
I bet you would eat it.
Okay, I mean, everyone that crashed on that plane in the Andes in the 70s.
They ate
like,
each
they
other.
They ate each other. And I bet if you asked them all right before they took off, none of them would have checked the yes box.
Yeah, like I wouldn't bring a friend to the island with me with intentions of eating him if
right.
I got too hungry.
Yeah, like what about, when I say I'll bring a dog, I'm bringing a friend. Like, what do you guys feel about dogs?
I like dogs, but I just know that
I don't know. You have a hard time convincing me. You eat that dog pretty quick.
No, I...
like, instantly you're like,
it would take a long time because I think the dog would actually serve a very important emotional
food,
role.
Probably.
But he would keep you emotionally sane. Having that friend there, he would also eat some of your food, which is another back to the whole eating him is a good idea thing. But
let's say there was a deer on this island.
Yeah.
You think you or your dog, without... rifle, you know, a gun being available, would be better at running down an animal and catching it.
Well, it depends on the kind of dog.
I would bring a Rottweiler. That's just the kind of
I think
dog
I would bring a German Shepherd.
Yeah, I think either one of those, a hungry, large breed dog like that, would totally, like, start running down if they found deer, rabbits, things. And it might be a little weird to, like, fight with your dog for your food, but I mean,
well, I would.
My dog has a better chance of killing something like that than I do.
I think he would feel loyalty to you. So I think that he would look at you like look, I got it. And then
yeah.
you could, okay, nice
get
work.
You in on it.
So then, you know, it's like a team.
Bust him off a little
it's
bit.
It's like, yeah, bust him off like a like a hoof or something.
All right, what if your dog ran out of food? Would he try to eat you?
I don't think so. Dogs are loyal to humans.
That's so weird.
I think he would try to eat you, the dog.
I don't know.
I bet he would.
It well, goes it's back weird because to just, a wolf like, would primal. Just eat you automatically.
And yeah, I wouldn't bring a wolf.
No.
I wouldn't bring a wolf.
I wouldn't bring a wolf anywhere, though. Not just to the island.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bring a wolf, like, to the mall.
Yeah, as a rule of thumb in life, bring wolves nowhere.
I actually try to avoid them. Although, I don't think there's any record of a wolf killing a human being in Minnesota. Ever.
I like how that went, like, dead air. Oh, yeah, is there a way to find out?
Yeah, I think they may have injured them, but no...
I'm sure they've been injured. They've attacked dogs, I know that. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, wolf attacks don't sound very common.
Alaska...
Never walked outside and been like, oh, is there any wolves around?
Well, they're afraid of people.
I saw
it's happened in Alaska. They've killed.
I saw a bear in my Inger Tower this summer, and there were just people out walking around, and I drove, and these people had a dog, and it was off-leash. They were walking toward where this bear had just, like, dipped into the woods, and I was like, whoa, you better grab your dog. There was, like, a bear.
Yeah.
And they totally just shrugged, and were like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. I'm like, it's like a 300-pound animal versus, like, a 30-pound animal. They just dipped. I left.
And
no one ever heard of them again.
According to
never did, come to think of it.
According to NBC, there are only two killings that wolves have killed human beings on record in North America.
Oh.
And they both happened in Alaska. So only two people have been killed by wolves in North America on record. Both in Alaska. This is according to NBC News. So
South America, different story.
South America, those Brazilian wolves.
It's kind of like killer African bees. It's like killer South American wolves.
Everything below the equator.
Scary.
Wants to kill us.
It's all scary down there.
Yeah, that's when I hear people like going to Australia. I'm like,
do you ever look at the globe and realize how few of the people that live in the world live in the Southern Hemisphere?
Yeah.
It's like none of them. It's like way less populated than the Northern Hemisphere.
Yep.
It's really weird.
Yeah, I think I saw, like, again, Australia as an example. I think I saw that, like, 99% of the Australian population live within 10 miles of the coast.
It's like 80% of the whole world's population
live within a coast?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, like, very common to live by a coast, by water.
It's nice.
Especially if you filter in rivers. And coastal.
Or lakes. Like this one that we can see out the window a little bit here.
Yeah, look, there's... You know, outside of here, where are there 120,000 people living in a concentration right at the edge of the water and nowhere else?
Yeah.
Same with Thunder Bay, Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah. Colorado, people like the mountains, so maybe mountainous areas, people like that.
That's where I was born, Denver, Colorado.
Nice. I like Colorado a lot. I think that's pretty much it, though.
I think we got it all figured out.
I think we got to hit a high five. If you guys need any kind of stinky or moldy situations, you're going to want to find Steve Stern. Where can they find you, Steve? Where do you want them to find you if they're watching this right now and they got a stinky situation?
We're at Green Home Solutions, www, of course, for World Wide Web. I don't know if you know if that's what that stands for.
I always wonder if people still put that in.
www.
World Wide Web. I knew that.
I do type that sometimes. I think it's just habit. Really? I think it's just, you know, when I'm not searching, I want it to be clear it's a website. Yeah, I tap the key.
Ring finger.
With my finger like that.
Too many W's.
1, 2, 3 times.
Yeah.
And I use this finger over here. Anyway. www.greenhomesolutions.com/duluth-mn.
Love it.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. This is a good cast. We had some interesting talks. Thank you for coming on, Steve. Don't forget, if you need video work done, Casey Flipson, he's your dude. Like and subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes. Thank you, guys. We had one mic today. It worked out just fine, though.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, that's right. Nice. We did it. Locked this puppy.
Did you guys
down.
High five? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We slapped him. We slapped him real good.
Wow, it's so weird taking this off now. It's like, okay, now I'm actually here.
Yeah.